Okay, you are tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today is a special show because we will be starting off with an interview with a singer from a female group from the north side of Chicago named Bernice Walker. Bernice, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Bernice Watkins.
Watkins. I'm sorry I've messed up your name already. It's already going bad. Sorry about that. So, first of all, the group you sang with was called Living Color. Is that right?
Yes, it was.
Are you originally from Chicago?
Yes, I am. West side of Chicago, moved to the north side of Chicago in 66, and been there in Cabrini Green.
Okay, how did you get started singing?
Well, I was singing at church, of course. You know, that's everybody's state. They always say they sung at church. So I sung at church over at New Hope Missionary Baptist Church on the north side, right across from 660. And Marvin Yancey was my music director and went there and then went to Cooley, where we sung up under Miss Beatonfield and the choir and myself, Janet, and Bertha Coleman, Janet Miles, and myself sung in the choir.
Okay.
And we decided to have a group.
So is that the first group you sang with?
No, it wasn't. I used to sing with a group in 660. When I was in sixth and seventh grade, we had a little group that we went around singing in the lounges and stuff.
Oh, so you actually had a group that performed in the city when you were just in the sixth grade?
Yeah, sixth and seventh grade. Yeah, I was a pretty big girl. and they let us in the clubs, and we sung, and our parent was with us, the Gaines' parents, Butch Gaines and his brother, and their parents would take us to some of the clubs, and we'd sing, and they'd sit us over in the corner, and when we get through singing, we left.
Were you living on the west side at that time, or you had already moved north?
No, I was living in 660 at that time.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wait, so is that an address? You said 660?
660 West Division is an address.
Okay. Okay, sorry. So you had moved up there, and was that a group of people that you knew in grammar school, or were they older than you?
Than I was. Butch was. Tony Gaines was about the same age I was. And then he had a sister named Johnny May. Did I lose you? No. So we all sung in a group. Uh-huh. Matter of fact, Butch and Tony played with Doug.
Doug Shorts.
Doug Shorts, right.
Okay. Yeah, he said his group back in the day when he lived on the north side was the Mannequins.
Yes.
Do you remember the name of that first group you sang with?
You know, I don't even know if we even had a name.
Okay. Was it exciting to perform at clubs that young?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess it was. Only thing I was interested in was just singing, you know. That's all I cared about. As long as I could open my mouth and sing.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So when you started high school, do you remember what year you were in high school when your new group formed? You said you were originally in the choir in high school with the other two members?
Yeah, I was the freshman year. I don't know what year I went to. I graduated in 70, so let's go back whatever many years that.
Okay, so who were the other two members? I know you mentioned them before, but who were the other two members?
Bertha Coleman was soprano. And Janet Miles was alto, second soprano, and then I was a contralto. I am a contralto. I sung all voices.
And you said you met them singing in choir.
Yeah, we had a choir at Cooley High, and Miss Beatonfield was our teacher, and we would go to choir every other day or something like that. We had 2 days in a week that we would sing. And practice, and So I met Janet there, and I met Bertha there. And I would listen to them sing, because one would be on one side of me and one would be on the other side of me. And so my teacher would have me in the middle, because even though I hear their voices, I could hold my notes, because I was the choir, I was the alto, second alto holder, leader, where you hold notes. So, and they were on both sides of me, and I'm listening to the notes. I'm like, wow, let's sing, let's do a group, let's have a group.
So it was your idea to form the group after hearing everybody sing together?
Yeah.
So did you originally have a name for your group? Who came up with the name?
Well, we were different shades of black.
Okay.
And we didn't really want to be shades of black. So we decided to have Living Color, because black people come in, you know, different colors and stuff. And so we were three different shades, and so that's the reason why we came up with Living Color.
Now that's a cool story about the name. And
yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about being at like the legendary Cooley High? Like, was there talent shows? Like, where did you get to perform?
Okay, we had a Wawa Tasty show, and the Wawa Tasty show would have once a year at the end. Actually, it's like just before the end of school year. I think it was in like October, just before that year would end, and then the new year would come up. And so at that time, all of the groups that were at Cooley would get together, and there was a lot of groups. You didn't have to go to Cooley. You can go to any school. But we would have just a show at the end of the year. So everybody would come together, and we would have our talent show. It wasn't a competing show. It was a show where we just displayed our talents.
Okay. Do you remember what you sang with your group at the show?
It was Old Man River.
Okay. And were you?
Old Man River was the reason why we sung Old Man River, because we can go all the way high, all the way down to the baritone. And we figured that would be just a showstopper.
So were people impressed about the vocal range?
Yes.
And did you perform in the talent show all 4 years you were in school?
Oh, definitely.
Do you remember, you said there were a ton of groups there. Do you remember some of the other groups?
You know, I never knew the names of the groups. I just knew the people.
Okay.
I know Doug was there. Carolyn Love was there. Doug was there. Keith Samuels was there. Who else? So Natalie Cole's husband, I forget his name. I said it earlier. Now it's going to slip my mind. He was there. Matter of fact, he played piano for us. And what was his name? Anyway, just a lot of people.
Like, I know one of the groups that was in Cabrini at the time was the Admirations. Did you know them?
The Admirations, I don't know names. What was the people's name?
I think Childs was their last name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Childs. I think they lived in 1230 Burling.
Okay.
So you know, you get some numbers, I can tell you where they live.
You know everybody by their address. And were the other two members of Living Color, did they also live in Cabrini Green?
Yes, they did. Bertha lived in the Red Projects, and Janet lived in the White Projects on the other side of me. I think it was 630. On the other side, Ashland. So everybody lived there, and everybody got together, and everybody sung.
Was there a place that you practiced regularly?
We practiced basically at each other's houses. And then there was a place named Poor Richard where we practiced there at Poor Richard's. Matter of fact, we had the opportunity to sing there, and then we practiced at school a lot. Miss Beatonfield was our choir director, so she would listen to us, and she would help us out.
Okay. And you mentioned there was like the red building and the white building, like where the was
Red Project was around by Cooley, down Cleveland area. I think 1157 Cleveland, and Bird lived out, not 500, right in that area. That's where the Red Projects were. And then the White Projects were down by, going straight down Division almost towards Ashland, Halstead Avenue, Halstead.
And what did the were the buildings actually painted that color?
Yes.
Okay.
It wasn't really painted. It was just a red brick.
Okay.
And white brick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting learning the history of Cabrini Green, too, along with your group's history. So we've been talking for a while, and you ultimately ended up recording a record called Thank the Lord for Love.
Yeah.
I'm going to play the record, and then we could talk some more. Is that okay?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so this is Living Color with their record, Thank the Lord for Love. Okay, that was just a group called Living Color with Thank the Lord for Love. And if you're just tuning in, I have Bernice Watkins, sorry, I messed it up before, who's telling the story of her group. So can you hear me, Bernice?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so that record, did it come out after you finished school?
Actually, we were still in school. We were in our senior year. And that's when we sung it. That's when we recorded it.
So what's the story? How did you end up getting a record produced?
Well, we started entering a lot of talent shows on weekends, and there was a talent show with Barbara Ackland, and we were competing against the Emotions, and it was another group from the South Side. Emotions was from the South Side. We were from the North Side, and I think they had one group from the West Side that we were competing against. And we won the oh, my gosh, we won the battle. So we went to Barbara Acklin, and we started practicing with her. And so she took us down to Brunswick. All right. And when we went down to Brunswick, interviewed us, and we talked and everything, and they heard us sing, and they asked, "Can let's do a record." So we went in to do the record first before we signed any deals, of course. And then when it comes time to, they wanted to to sign us up to do another record. We did the both sides. And when it came down to, signing the record, Bert's boyfriend, we won't say names, that he didn't want her to sing. He wanted to fill her head that she was the lead singer, and he wanted her to sing with them, and she could do much better. So she decided that she wasn't going to sign. Then Janet got mad and said, "Well, you know, I'm tired of this. I don't want to go through this." And I'm like, "Let's sign. I don't care. Let's do it." So the guy said that he took over our name, Living Color, and he just recorded the record and put it out there.
So I'm a little confused. You said you were Barbara Acklin took you to Brunswick. Did you record the record at Brunswick?
Well, we recorded at Brunswick one channel. Then we recorded the other side at ABC Records.
Oh, okay, and it came out on a record label called Mad Hatter Records.
Mad Hatter by Mark Davis. Yeah.
So
Mark went to school on the South Side. And Mark was a genius. He really was. And we wanted to stay with Mark. But Brunswick took over all of the paperwork. I don't know exactly what happened. They said that it was theirs, and they would do what they want to do with it. And so, and then it was, like I said, the discrepancy between us girls on what was what. And it wasn't our doing. It was outside influences.
Okay. So that record, I'm still a little confused. You said Brunswick owned the rights to it, but it was released on Mad Hatter Records?
Right, right. So, literally, that's all it is. It's all up under the same umbrella, Brunswick and Mad Hatter, and a lot of the other ones were right up under that, that label.
Okay, and how did you know Mark Davis just from being at Brunswick?
We met Mark on the South Side when we were over on that side of town doing the talent shows. So we ran across Mark at that particular time. Mark would always come to hear us sing. We were at the Burning Spear and any place else that Brunswick basically was taking us to different places and allowing us to sing that song. And Mark, not that song, but different songs, Mark would come and then he said, "Well, let's shoot a record together." And so we all got together, and we all wrote the song. And that was it. That's how it got to play. That's how it got made.
So you all wrote Thank the Lord for Love?
Thank the Lord and the Other Side.
Yeah, because on Thank the Lord for Love, they credit Mark Davis, Lehman Cox, and...
I know.
And then the Other Side is just credited to Ray Foreman.
I know.
But
I know.
But you were all writers of those songs.
We all wrote the song together. Everybody sat down together, and we all came. One person came up with one word. The other person came up with another word. And we all came together and put the words onto the song. But people were, you know, was just taking credit for everything. They wanted to direct us on how we should go and where we should do and how we should do it and stuff like that. And that's one of the reasons, like I was saying, that Janet got upset and she just didn't want to do it no more. And Bert's boyfriend wanted her to do what he wanted her to do.
Okay.
And that was it.
So Thank the Lord for Love was recorded at Brunswick and the Other Side was recorded at ABC. Is that right?
Yes.
So, and you weren't under contract when you recorded it?
No, we weren't.
They just wanted to sign you afterwards?
They wanted to sign us afterwards. After we did, they said this was basically going to be a demo. That's how they presented it to us. This is going to be a demo. We're going to see how you're going to do, right? See how you write, see how you can sing, see how you can do up under, you know, directions and stuff. So that's what we did.
Okay. So, but then they end, were you surprised when it ended up actually getting released as a record?
Not really. I really wasn't surprised because that's, we thought that that's what was going to happen. It was going to be released after they said it turned out pretty good. They were going to try and release it. Then we asked, well, what about how much will we get out of the deal? That's when they used to have that 3 cents a record or something like that.
Okay.
And then we asked how much we were going to get paid, and then they said, well, we haven't signed a contract with you guys.
And then,
so the contract was brought up, and no one wanted to sign.
So did the group break up just like over the all everything that was happening, like in the industry with that record?
It just stopped. Everything stopped. Like I said, Bert's boyfriend had her mind. And Janet was upset, and I was like, I got to sing. I'll sign, but I was only one person.
Okay.
So I decided to do background work at Brunswick.
Okay. Can we've been talking for a while. Can I play The Flip, which is also good, Got a Strange Feeling?
Yes, and, you know, it Got a Strange Feeling goes down to a slower part of it at the end. I'm singing the lower part at the end, and on the second, the last part in the first part I'm singing.
And, sorry, and on Thank the Lord for Love, I forgot to ask, like, who sings each part. Like, it's kind of, you're all singing together for a lot of it.
Yeah, the very first part, Bert sings the very first part. Janet sings the middle part, and I'm on the end part. And that's the same way, that's how we've always went in that line. It depends on where the action is in the song and where the song was going to go, depend on, predicted on who was going to sing what.
Okay. So this is the flip side of the record, which I'll play, and then we'll talk a little more. This, this track is called Got a Strange Feeling.
Without you now.
Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to the Sitting in the Park show. That was just a group from the north side of Chicago called Living Color with Got a Strange Feeling, the B-side of Thank the Lord for Love. If you're just tuning in, I have a singer from that group, Bernice Watkins, who's telling the story of her group's, her group Living Color. So can you hear me, Bernice?
Yes, I can.
So did that record, either side, get played in Chicago?
Yeah, it got played. Both sides got played. And we got a good response, too. And I think that's the reason why they called us in to sign the contract. But, you know, like at that time, everybody was young and people were on their own thing and it just didn't come through.
So you pretty much, you were doing well until you encountered the industry and everyone grabbing at you. And that's...
Yeah, everybody wanted a piece of somebody. You know, one person wanted this person, another person wanted this person, another person wanted that person. So they were pulling at people and trying to influence them and talking, you know, talking to their heads, you know, getting their heads blowed up out of proportion. Everybody, it's like you said, your head gets bigger than your whole dreams and aspirations and body and everything. You just get a big head.
And
so that's what happened.
And that forced your group to break up?
Yes, it did.
So you said that afterwards you continued doing work in music, singing at Brunswick. Had you sung background at Brunswick before then even?
I sang at Brunswick when I was 14, going on 15. We would go down there. Actually, at the beginning, all three of us would go down there after we won the contest, go down to Brunswick, and we would just hang out and we would sing. They said, come on in and sing this song. And we go in the background back and we sing background to adopt a lot of different artists. Whoever was there and they needed a background artist, we would do the background. I remember Jackie Wilson was there one time and we sung background behind him. Gene Chandler was there. We did background behind him. Barbara Acklin, Shy Light. We even clapped hands if that's what they needed. But after a while, Janet and Bert didn't want to go back down there. You know, they had other things. They were in love and all this kind of stuff. So love took over. And at that particular time, the only thing I wanted to do was sing. So I would go down and just do background work. The way my voice was, like I said, I do all voices. So they would put me in wherever was needed, the lower or the very high, because I sing first soprano to baritone. So that's what they wanted, someone that was versatile. So I suit the bill, so they asked me, I kept coming back.
So did you go there pretty much like every weekday while you were in high school?
As soon as I got out of school. We got out of school at 2:30. I would go straight down to Brunswick and try and beat it home before my mom got up to go to work. She worked nights at 10 o'clock, so I would be like 9:30. I had to be back at the house.
Okay.
Before my mom woke up and before she entered out of her room, exited out of her room.
So you were you sneaking it?
I was sneaking.
Okay.
I was sneaking big time.
but it must have been pretty exciting, though, being around all these stars at Brunswick, like Jackie Wilson, Gene Chandler.
Well, it was wonderful being around there, but Jackie Wilson, that guy is a trip. He thought he was God's gift to woman. and as soon as you come in, he wanted kissing all on your jaws and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, God, no. But the other guys were, Gene Chandler was a gentleman. I'll say that. He was definitely a gentleman. He would never overstep his boundaries. And all of the other Shy Lights, they were pretty neat guys. You know, they really were. They didn't try and do anything or say anything out the way to you, because I was a little young, too, though.
Okay. So, can you talk a little bit? You already mentioned, like, you would go down there. Would they just kind of grab anybody who was there to do background? Like, there wasn't a set of people that sang back up on every song, right?
No, it wasn't. Whoever was in the building and you could sing and they liked your voice. Now, they had to like you. They had to like your voice. If they liked your voice, you were singing background. Yes.
But
it wasn't no one set person. It wasn't no one set group. It wasn't no guys because they sung high. They had girls and guys all mixed in together because the way they had the background set up, you would go into a different rooms. And some people, you never had to have the whole group there. One person would overdub and sing a part, that, and you don't even know who the artist is. You'd just be singing a part.
Okay.
So that's how they did it.
And did you get paid for your backup work when you were just in high school, or were you just doing it for the experience?
Well, at first I was doing it for experience. Then they started giving me a little money.
Okay.
It wasn't a whole lot, but it definitely paid the bus fare to get back and forth.
So,
and they fed me.
I cut you off. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
So after the group broke up, did any of the members continue to do music?
Well, I think Bert and her boyfriend tried to get some business together, but it didn't pan out the way that he thought it was, you know. He thought that she was everything, but he didn't realize it wasn't. And so it didn't pan out. Janet decided she wasn't going to sing anymore. And so I would still do the background. And then some of the guys at Brunswick would come and get me. And I would do shows with, I think we did the show with Money, 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 the guy who did that, Finest Henderson, or Henderson, or whatever it is. But Finest Henderson was a star maker at Brunswick. And so he would groom. He was grooming me, and it was two other girls. And we went out on the road doing the DJ conferences in California, doing the background work with them. I think we were, Temptations were there, and we sung background all together at the Playboy Club out there.
Do you remember who the two other girls at Brunswick that you were singing with were?
You know, I have their picture, but I can't get their names in my mind for nothing in the world.
Did you ever try to form a new group with them?
Well, we did it for a little while until I was about, I was 22 then, right. I wanted to start, at that particular time, it was the drug scene coming along real, real good. And everybody that I was around was doing drugs and stuff. So I decided that I was going to stop for a minute, you know, let's check out and go and have my children, and then I would come back and start singing. That was my ideal. So that's what I did. So the drug scene was so popular. I think that was when I was 21, so that was what, the early 70s?
Yeah.
The early 70s. About the 74, I was 23, 72, around that time.
Yeah, a lot of singers I talk to talk about that, although they usually don't talk about it on the air.
there was a lot of it going on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm glad you're talking about it because it was, I mean, a big thing that was going on, and you know, it's not acknowledged as much as it should have been, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it was strong at that particular time. And I just didn't see myself, because a lot of guys you would talk with me, because like I said, I looked young. Even when I was 21, I was looking real young, and I didn't do anything, you know, as far as drugs or anything, and everybody was talking to me like they were my big brothers and stuff. And so they told me the best thing for me to do is stop being around the people that I was being around, but they were all entertainers, you know. This was who I hung out with. This is who I sung with. So the best thing for me to do was to stop, and that's what happened.
So do you remember, did you stop in the mid-70s or like 73? Do you remember like when you stopped?
I think it was about 75, 76, around that time.
So before then, were you working full-time in music?
Yes, I was. Like I said, I was out on the road doing a lot of background work. I wasn't trying to do lead because I figured I'd get by with doing the background work.
Was it Brunswick-specific tours, or did you tour with other artists too?
No, it wasn't with Brunswick. I did Brunswick for a while until, like I said, about 71. And then after 71, I started, different people would just come and get me to do background. They would come to my mom's house and get me, and then we'd just leave out and just do background gigs.
So were you touring most of the year while you were working?
Yeah, most most of the year I would be gone, and I would come back on in the wintertime, the very cold month. I would come back home and stay for about 2 or 3 months, then I'd be gone again.
Do you remember some of the places you toured to and some of the people you sang backup for? Like, I know you already talked about DJ conferences that you did.
Like I said, we stayed on tour with the guy that did Money, Money, Money for about 4 months. And then we did, we went on background for Barbara Acklin for about 4 or 5 months. And it was just different people, just different groups.
Because
I remember even Chaka Khan, when she first came out, she was at Brunswick. And we did background for her for a while.
And did you go all over the country?
Yeah, we went all the southern states, of course. And then it was like college scenes, mostly college scenes. All the college tours in the south, that we went, we did those.
Okay, and then so you continued to do music until the mid-70s when you dropped out?
Mid-70s, stopped singing. The 90s, started back up again when my children got of age to be able to take care of themselves, and then I would, like, leave the house around 12 o'clock. In Chicago, they have these open mics. One was the apartment on the south side. They would start at about 12 o'clock. And Von Freeman, the saxophone player out there, and he would let me come in and sing with him. So I would sing on Tuesday night at the apartment. And after that, then I would do blues clubs. And we would sing blues clubs. That was after hours. I always tell the story about on the west side, Kedzie, they had this place where we would go in, all of the entertainers, the blues entertainers, after they get through doing their work, around 1 o'clock, they would come to this club. It was just a hole in the wall. I mean, hole in the wall, too. And we would all go in there, and we'd sing to each other. And so you do all the blues clubs in Chicago. And so I had a group then. But then I started singing lead. And once I started singing lead, I did more work. And so now I'm in Albuquerque doing lead.
So you lived in Chicago pretty much your whole life before you moved to Albuquerque?
I moved to Albuquerque in 05.
Okay.
And so we were doing all of the blues clubs in Chicago just before I left. Myself and I had a group there. And I don't remember the name of... you know, I hate to say you can't remember somebody's name, but I do remember the name. But it seemed like when somebody say, "Well, what's the name?" you can't remember nothing.
Yeah, I know how that goes. your brain just shuts down when stuff that you know automatically.
Yeah. Freeze. Yeah, I'm trying to remember my guitar player's name, and I really hate that because I can't remember his name right off the bat. And I don't want to cut you off to look at my phone.
So I have a cut that you recorded relatively recently called Bleeds Red Blood. I think that's what it's called.
Okay, it's called Bounce. We don't bounce.
We don't bounce.
That's exactly. We don't bounce. We as women, when we fall, we break. If you hurt us, we bleed. So that's what it is.
When did you record this track?
Just before I left in 04. Myself and Doug Shorts, we were doing some work together. We were writing, and he helped me with this song and put the music to it.
Okay, so I'm going to play the song, and then we can talk a little bit more.
Okay.
This is Bernice Watkins from about 2004, and this track is called Bleeds Red Blood.
Your love welcomed me in with open arms, and your kisses, they were so sweet. I was captured like a fly in a spider's web. Darling, we made love, and you entered the cavity of my heart with a deep, penetrating thrust. You released the sweet nectar of my heart. Your love is like a black hill. Baby, you shocked me in. Is there life outside of love?
Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Right now we're doing an interview with a singer named Bernice Watkins, who sang in the group Living Color. That was just a solo track that you recorded. And it wasn't the you said it wasn't the track we were talking about before I played it.
Yeah, it wasn't. That wasn't the track. That was a different song. We hadn't even finished that one, matter of fact, myself and Doug. And that was about a lady trying to find a love, the perfect love, that love that she couldn't even write about. She wanted that love. So that's what that was about. But Bounce is the other record that we thought it was, but it wasn't. But that's an interesting one, too. Like I said, I'll send that to you so that you'll have it.
So did you actually release it with Doug? Like, what happened?
Well, we hadn't released it. I moved to Albuquerque just before we were getting together. We were getting together to make sure that everything was ironed out and everything, all the music-wise. And then I moved here to Albuquerque, and we hadn't had an opportunity to get together and do anything with it. We're still looking to see what we can do with it. That's it.
And are you doing music today?
Yes, I am. My stage name is Bonnie Watts, and my mom used to call me Bonnie all the time, so I figured Bernice was such a real rigid name, and I wanted to be more friendly, so I call myself Bonnie Watts, shortened both of the names. And so now I'm down here in Albuquerque, and I'm doing a lot of the clubs here, and I had an article out about me at the Alibi. And at Albuquerque, what is that, Albuquerque News. And so doing pretty good. We could do better, you know.
Are there a lot of blues clubs in Albuquerque?
Actually, it's not. I do jazz now. I do a lot of jazz. And I do some R&B and very, very few blues. But like I said, when I was in Chicago and I was doing the night shows with Von Freeman, he told me, he called me Miss Bonnie. He said, you know, you're going to have to figure out, what do you want to do in life? Do you want to sing for the rest of your life, or do you want to sing for a short time? And he said that if I sang blues, I would only sing it for a short time because it wears out on your throat. And if I wanted to sing jazz, I could sing jazz for the rest of my life. So I decided to sing jazz for the rest of my life, and that's what I'm doing now. Because I remember when I was at church singing, and I sung with, like I said, Natalie Cole's dead husband. He was our choir leader, and he would sing, sing hard and sing fast and sing loud. Sing hard, sing fast, and sing loud. And I lost my voice, and I could not talk for a year. But after that year was over with, I sung and sung at my rate, not at his rate. So whoever is out there want to sing, you know, don't let nobody tell you to sing the wrong things. Mm-hmm.
And are you planning to record any material, or are you just mainly performing now?
Well, we went in the studio last week. We're recording there, but there's just some regular standards, old standards like Summertime, and What a Difference a Day Makes, that type of music. And I sing with a Latin band, and I'm the black singer.
Okay.
And it's a bunch of Mexicans, and so it's a combination, and they seem to like it. They seem to really like it because we're hitting everything that you can hit, you know, everything, and it's popping.
And the audience over there, like, I don't know much about Albuquerque. Is it like a college town? Like, who?
Actually, no, it's a retirement town, I would think.
Okay, so older people are the audience?
The people that come to my show is, I would say, from around 40 to, and I swear, I kid you not, to 90, 91. We just had a lady at the show at the Q Bar that's 91 years old, celebrate, and was dancing her heart out. I was doing swing, and, I mean, we had a wonderful time, and, you know, so it's variety. People from 30 all the way up to 91 comes in, and, I mean, it's packed almost every Tuesday.
Yeah, that's great that you're able to bring music to so many people's lives over there.
Yeah.
And I got to say, thanks so much for being on the phone and telling your story. Like, even though you only had one record that was released, you still had a really interesting story that, you know, spanned different areas in Chicago, different decades. And I don't know if you know this, but, you know, your record is popular with the soul people in England.
That's what I heard.
They have something that they call it Northern Soul, and they play the records in clubs and dance to it. So you sort of had it hit, even if it was an underground hit overseas.
Well, they can call me anytime, and I'm willing to go overseas.
So thanks again, and do you have any last words for the listening audience?
Yes, I do. This is not a trial run. This is it. You don't get no more chances. So if you got a dream, do it. That's it.
Yeah, that's great advice. So thanks again. And I will have the interview online on my website, sittinginthepark.com, hopefully later today.